Good morning. To all you mothers, happy Mother's Day. To all of you mothers here in the room, to all of you mothers joining us online, to my own mother who's here this morning, happy Mother's Day. Yeah, she put up with me and still does, and several others, so, all right. We're so thankful for our moms, Kate and I. Both Kate and I are super blessed with great moms, and so, yeah, I know what it's like to have a great mom, and I'm super thankful for that. I don't take that for granted. No matter where you are or where you might land on this vast spectrum of your experience with motherhood as one or having had one thing we can all agree on is that motherhood is, by all accounts, the toughest job on the planet. The toughest job on the planet. And the moms I know are the most talented, caring, generous, resourceful, and hardworking people you could ever meet. Thank you, moms, for everything that you do for all of us every day. We're incredibly grateful. Well, sorry, you can tell I've had have a little bit of a cold going on. We've had quite a week as a family, actually. And I asked my family what I could share this morning, so I'm gonna follow my notes. We've had a little bit of a crazy week. Some of you might know that my sister-in-law is in need of a kidney. Some months ago, Kate began the process of finding out if she would be a match for kidney donation and was accepted onto the National Donor Registry as a kidney donor, which enables my sister-in-law to get the best possible match for her as well. Excuse me. So this last Monday, I drove Kate down to Salt Lake City, and she had surgery Tuesday to donate one of her kidneys. She's incredible. And hi, babe, if you're watching. Hopefully you're asleep, not watching. But we've had just a crazy week, but I just want to thank each one of you who have prayed and helped out and sent meals and driven kids and sent cards and flowers. And our Vineyard family has been such a huge blessing to us in this last week. And my kids now know that Pastor Mike speaks fluent. He's not Greek. That's what you thought I was going to say. Pastor Mike speaks fluent preacher's kid love language. If you don't know what that is, that's Costco muffins. That's PK love language. A number one is Costco muffins. And when those arrived, they knew. They knew. They felt seen by those muffins. So, but Kate's doing great. And she'll be returning home from Salt Lake this week to continue her recovery here in Boise. And we're really excited, and I am just so very, very proud of her. And so thanks again for all of your prayer and support. It means so much. So that was a quick update on our life right now. So let's pray, because I don't know where to go from there. So I'm just going to keep following my notes, and it says pray. So God, thanks for today. Thanks for moms. And Lord, we do just speak a blessing over each one. Come, Holy Spirit, fill and anoint, encourage and bless, revive and refresh, and speak directly to every heart today, we ask, Father, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Over the last few weeks, I've had several conversations, at least three, that are fresh in my mind of people that are just going through the ringer. You feel like like somebody described it as getting drugged through a knothole backwards. You've heard that expression? That's what somebody described their life to me as right now. And as I've talked to people and had these conversations, I realize that sometimes you just feel like the rug has been pulled out from you by life, by the enemy, by God. There's lots of opinions on what's actually happening in your life right now. And I just keep having these conversations, and as they're happening, these people are telling me they're feeling so overwhelmed. And a couple weeks ago, I had the privilege of ministering in the 101 class, which is so fun. If you haven't taken it, you need to. And we were talking about the Holy Spirit. And as I was talking about the Holy Spirit to 101, I kept hearing Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 roll around in my heart. And then It just kept sinking in. And over the last few weeks, I kept thinking about this prophecy, and you can put it up on the screen. It's a prophecy about Jesus that the angel spoke to Joseph when Jesus was, just before Jesus was born. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel." Everybody say Emmanuel. "They shall name him Emmanuel," look at this, "which means God with us." And that angel actually is referencing a prophetic word about Jesus out of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that says those same words. "They shall call his name Emmanuel," Emmanuel, Emmanuel, which means God with us. So then fast forward 30-some years when Jesus was wrapping up his earthly ministry and the disciples, with the disciples, he's wrapping it all up and he says to them, kind of in closing even, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." You've probably heard this verse many times in your life. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Verse 20, "teaching them to follow all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Does that sound familiar? "I am with you always." Remember his name? Remember his name? "I am with you." How was Jesus going to be with them? He was leaving. Well, if you've been through 101, you know the Holy Spirit. He said, "I actually have to go so that the other one can come. I actually have to get out of the picture so the Holy Spirit can come, and he will be with you, and he will teach you, and he will bring you into all wisdom." And so Jesus is saying, "I'm getting out of the way, and the Holy Spirit is coming. I am with you always." That wasn't just a sentiment. When Jesus was on the earth, he could be with one group of people at a time. But through the Holy Spirit, God could be with each of us all the time, anywhere. God with us. God with us is not just a hope. God with us is a promise. It is his name, God with us. Throughout the Bible, God says the same phrase to people, "I will be with you." He says it so many times, "and I will be with you. Go, I will be with you. Say this, I will be with you. Go here, I will be with you." Why? Because we're people and we need to know he's with us. You see, God knows who he's dealing with. We often don't. It doesn't often go the other direction. But see, God knows who he's dealing with in people. He knows our limitations. He knows our lack of understanding. He knows our doubts, our fears. He knows if you're feeling like you've been through the ringer this week. He knows. And he is with you. When Isaac was facing a famine and wondering what to do and how to keep his family alive, God told him, Genesis chapter 26, verse 3, "Live for a time in this land and I will be with you and bless you. For you and your descendants, I will give these lands and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father, Abraham." Do you see? Live for a time in this land and I will be with you. When Jacob was facing uncertainty and his uncle was actually turning on him, God told him in Genesis chapter 31, verse 3, "Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to your land, the land of your fathers, and to your relatives, and I will be with you." When Moses is at the burning bush, just commissioned by God to go and demand, to go to Pharaoh and demand that God that he let God's people go, he's understandably nervous. And a lot of times we criticize Moses for this. I've heard a lot of preachers be like, "Well, you know," and God said, "Who made man's mouth?" You know, you've seen that movie, right? Yeah. "Who made man's mouth that he should speak?" And I'm not making fun of you, Lord. I'm making fun of how people have portrayed you. So Moses is standing there at their burning bush and he has real questions. Do you know why? He knows Pharaoh. He doesn't yet know God. And so there he is at the burning bush and he's got real questions and God says this to him. Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. And he said, surely I will be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. This was not God just this. There's a reason why this verse gets quoted a lot. That's because the translation of this is not just God saying, hey, I'm gonna go with you. In fact, this word is that is translated here, I will be, it's the same word two verses later when God tells Moses his name for the first time. The name, Yahweh, I am. I am, the I am. I am that I am. When he tells Moses, hey, I am going with you, he says his own name. I am. And that's not just an English alliteration now that we, oh, isn't that cool in English? No, actually in the Hebrew, God says his name is going. His name is with him. What does that mean? Moses will actually carry the name of God into that situation. I will be with you. It's his nature. It's his name. The name that expressed his character as the dependable and faithful God who is with us. Later, as Joshua is taking over for Moses, imagine taking over for arguably one of the greatest leaders of all time. Imagine taking over. A little insecure maybe. Questions maybe. God actually says this to Joshua three times. Because he probably needed to hear it. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 23. Then he commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and courageous, for you will bring the sons of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you. Joshua 1:5. No one will be able to oppose you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not desert you or abandon you. Joshua 3, verse 7. Now the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel so that they will know that just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will be with you. Sometimes you just need a little extra assurance from God. Hundreds of years later, the prophet Isaiah speaks over God's people, and he gives him a lot to say, actually. Chapter after chapter after dozens of chapters, God speaks to his people through Isaiah. But in two separate places, we read this, Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will also help you, I will also uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do not fear, I am with you. And then in Isaiah chapter 43, some of you probably have this underlined in your Bible or stuck on your mirror at home. Isaiah 43, verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. This is a really graphic prophecy, actually, if you think about it. When you pass through the waters, it won't overwhelm you. You won't drown, one version says. These two phrases are very significant to Israel one back then and one now. To pass through the waters is a term that's used in the Old Testament many, many times for when the I Am, when Yahweh brought them through the Red Sea. Do you remember the story? He brings them through the Red Sea. He delivers them under the hand of Moses. He delivers them through the Red Sea on dry land and then closes the Red Sea behind them. So when God was saying to them prophetically hundreds of years later, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. They knew exactly what he was talking about. Now, this other phrase, when you pass through the fire, that was new to them. That wasn't something that had happened to them. There was the column of fire that followed them. It was God's tangible presence with them. But passing through the fire, no, see, that was something, that passing through the fire was actually something that pagan peoples did, that God always condemned, and it was a pagan practice of witchcraft, even child sacrifice. And God denounces it again and again and again in the Old Testament. So when they're saying, when God says to them, when you pass through the fire, they're like, oh, we got the water part, God. And God says, well, there's fire too. So both of these situations, passing through the waters, walking through the fire, God says, I will be with you. These things, these situations, that you need to be rescued from, these fiery trials, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, he, God, the I Am, Yahweh, will be with you, and they will not overwhelm you, nor will you be scorched and burned. This tells me that we will pass through the waters sometimes, that we will pass through the fire sometimes. Trials and tests that are not of our own choosing will come. This reminds me of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember those guys? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember the story of them? The king, Israel is in exile in Babylon. And the king sets up a golden statue of himself and tells everybody to bow down. And these three kids are the only people that don't bow down. And so that offense is punishable, not just by death, but by fire, a fiery furnace, actually. I've always wondered why they had those fiery furnaces. Anyway, that's another message. So, fiery furnaces, that's a whole other, but see, this was new to the children of Israel. This was new to the children of Israel. See, Israel didn't, it wasn't like they understood passing through the waters and God would be with them. But did you know that Isaiah actually spoke this, Isaiah, well, he spoke this probably 100, 150 years before they were even around. Isaiah prophesies and says, hey, look, Israel, you are actually going to go into exile. This city is going to be destroyed. Everything's going to get burned to the ground, and you're going to get captured and carried off, and you're going to have to live as exiles in a land that is not your own. But don't fear, because when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the fire, you will not be burned. Hundreds of years before Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was happening, God prophesied this and he told them what was going to happen. So here they are, these three guys. They were possibly just young teenagers, actually, finding themselves being prepped to get tossed into a fiery furnace. This is a very unique situation, a very specific situation with very specific words and terminology that's used, happening during the time period that Isaiah had prophesied about. And you know, I can just hear these three guys as they're getting prepped and tied up to get thrown into the furnace, quoting from Isaiah 100 years before, saying, hey, remember what God said. Hey, remember what God said. I will be with you. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they won't overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be scorched or burned. The flame will not burn you. Remember what God said. Suddenly, this very specific prophecy got very specific for them. I will be with you. I will be with you. And of course, we know that when the king looked into the fiery furnace and the boys had been thrown in, he saw a fourth man in the fire. This prophetic word from 100 years before was coming to pass right there before their eyes. And now this prophetic word and this story would be a bedrock story for the children of Israel for time immemorial. That it's this story is told and they understand it now. They understand what God spoke through Isaiah in a completely different way because of this story right here. It wasn't, I'm sure, the story the way that the boys thought the story would go. I'm sure it didn't go like, oh, are they actually gonna throw us in? Maybe God just means we'll see the fire. No, he said, when you go through the fire. I'm sure they didn't think like they would actually get tossed in. I'm not sure quite how they thought it would happen, but God knew how it was gonna happen because he spoke about it hundreds of years before. And here he is saying, when you go through it, you won't be burned. You won't be overwhelmed. God was with them. It's interesting that just a couple chapters later, Daniel is being thrown into the lion's den. And Daniel, being a man of prayer, I can just hear his prayer saying, Almighty God, just as you stood with those boys in that furnace, stand with me now today. God, just as you went into the fire with those boys, go into this den of lions with me now today. You see, we can put our faith in God to go in with us. You can put your faith in Jesus Christ to go in with you. When he said, hey, I'm gonna be with you always, even to the end of the age, that wasn't just a poetic thing he needed to be like, let's wrap this show up, I gotta go. He was saying, no, I will be with you. It's actually in my name. It's the way I describe myself. And when you walk through the fire, I will be with you. When you go through the waters, they won't overwhelm you because I'm gonna be holding your head up above the waves. Will there be waves? Sure, but they won't overwhelm you. Will there be flames? Yes, but they won't burn you. Why? Not because there's not flames, not because there's not waves, but only because he is with you. And today I feel like I need to speak prophetically over you that regardless of what your situation is, wherever you find yourself today, know that he is right there, stuck in it with you, right in the middle of it right now. God is with you. This is not just for mothers. Obviously, mothers need it most. And all the mothers said amen. Amen. You see, you can put your faith in Jesus to go in with you. You can put your faith in the God of comfort and peace to go in with you. You can put your trust in the God of heaven's armies to go in with you and close the mouth of the lions that you're facing. He has not left you. He is with you. Sometimes it can feel like I'm getting thrown in. So he must have left me. I'm getting thrown in. I'm going through. No, you're just going through. Yes, you are getting thrown in. Understand it's not him throwing you in, it's him with you in. He is with you. You will not be scorched. You will not be burned. You may have to pass through it, but he will be with you in it. There may be flames and there may be waves and there may be lions, but he will be with you in it. He is Emmanuel, God with us. There may be seasons of unknown coming up for you. Seasons of change, of struggle, of recovery. He is with you in it. There may be a diagnosis. There may be depression or anxiety, but he's with you in it. He's with you now, and he will be with you as you walk through it. This is a word for you to take into the next season with you, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. This is a word to take with you. That's why he gives us a word, because we're going to need the word. Can we stand together all over this room if you're able? Look at that, y'all. You still have time for brunch. He is with you. Like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, holding on to a word from the previous season, it's for your season now. And God wants to say this over you today. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 5 said, "For he himself said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever abandon you." He's referencing out of Deuteronomy chapter 31, "And the Lord who is the one going ahead of you, he will be with you. He will not desert you or abandon you. Do not fear and do not be dismayed." Just leave that right up there for a second. "And the Lord is the one who's going ahead of you." He's going ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not desert you or abandon you. Do not fear and do not be dismayed. Some of you have felt like in this season, you've needed to feel the presence of God right next to you. And actually what you should understand, and I feel this prophetically over somebody today, what you need to understand is that it's not just that he's gonna be right next to you. He's actually ahead of you saying, "Hey, come on in. I'm right here. I'm right here." He is with you. So I want to pray for mothers first. But like I said earlier, this message is not just for mothers, but I want to pray for mothers that are overwhelmed, stuck in the fire, surrounded. And I want to say over you, he is with you. You will not be overwhelmed. You will not be burned. He is with you. And you need to hear him speak that promise over you. It's not just a wish. He is with you. Some here today are walking into the unknown, an unknown job, an unknown diagnosis, an unknown season, a risk, a trial, a fiery furnace of your own. God will walk through it with you. God will walk through it with you. So all over this room, would you just position yourself right now to receive from God? Come, Holy Spirit. Come and move. You know what every heart needs today. You know what every mind needs to hear. You know what every ear needs to hear from you today. Would you speak and would you reassure? Like you said, assuredly, I will be with you. Like you said to Joshua, assuredly, I will be with you. Surely, I will stand with you. I will go ahead of you. Just speak to every heart. Come, Holy Spirit. Into whatever situation, into whatever furnace, into whatever raging river, into whatever season of loneliness and despair, right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak the presence of God. There's a reason why we call it the presence of God. Because he is with you. He is present in it with you. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill every heart right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you these fiery trials. We give you the situation we find ourselves in right now. We give it to you. We give it to you. Come, Holy Spirit. If today you just find yourself in need of a touch from the Lord that says He is with you, would you, just know that this word is for me today. I want you just to come forward. We want to pray for you. You just step out of the aisle and come right up to the front. We want to pray for you. Anybody in here today? You just need to hear that He's with you. Yeah. Yeah. You just need to know He's with you. And this is for every heart in here today. You just need to know the presence of God is with you. Somebody from the prayer team is just going to come and put their hand on your shoulder and pray over you. But I'm believing and I'm trusting this morning for a move of the Holy Spirit, for a work of the Holy Spirit in your life, the presence of God moving in your life, that you would know Him in a real way here today. Thank you, Jesus. So right now, Lord, we just present ourselves to you and we just say, we need you. And we trust you. And God, would you just move in every heart today on this Mother's Day, Lord, in the heart and life of every mom, God, and in the heart and life of every man, woman, and child, Lord, here today and online, God, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, would you come and would you visit us with your presence, that knowing that you're with us today. Through the difficult season that we're in, or through the difficult season we're stepping into. Lord, would you be with us and would you call to us with your voice? Would you speak to every heart? And today, Lord, would you just refresh us with your presence? Dwelling with us, Emmanuel, God with us. God, we say thank you for your presence. Thank you for your nearness to us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that's with us everywhere that we go. Come and fill every heart. Come and fill every heart, we ask, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.